Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Titans, talking Pro Football Hall of Fame, talking Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. Take your questions for PK as well, 615-737-1025.
So I forgot my notebook. I asked one of my two fellow reporters over here if they have a notebook that I could steal a piece of paper out of. Robbie also doesn't have a notebook. Joe pulls out this accordion. Look at that. I mean, that is an embarrassment.
Yeah, there's a lot of good notes on that. Let's look at some of the quotes on
it. It's
here.
Probably from like a Michigan State practice in
2000. Oh, my God.
Everything. There's just
it looks like
total
an absolute
disaster.
Flood. Now the paper that I just got is coffee soaked.
Oh, because Joe is a maniac.
I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
Total disaster going on in here.
Dang, I really was enjoying that coffee,
by
too.
By the time I get a piece of paper, I come back in here and I forget what I wanted to write down. And now I'm soaked in coffee. I love the way you're urgently getting
I don't know what to do. I don't have anything to wipe it off.
Some napkins. Yeah. Kuharsky and I will handle the segment. Go get the napkins.
Go get the napkins.
God. Good grief.
Unbelievable.
You got Ian's. Ian's lost it in there.
Ian's getting
Ian. Thanks,
sorry
Ian.
Sorry to Ian. Appreciate to me. I'm not wearing a splash guard.
Damn it.
So inappropriate. See,
but this is all, like, really, it's all your fault. Like, you started the whole conversation. Like, what do you?
I started the conversation and it made your hands fly up in a way that knocked over your 16th coffee.
What do you need a notebook for?
That was on me. I needed to write something down, which I've now forgotten.
Well, yeah, exactly.
If you just had a notebook like a normal reporter,
thanks, Ian,
I would have been fine.
This was a long way of getting to. We finally got Kuharsky some paper, and then he had no idea what
he
wanted to
write back
down.
After these words from our sponsors.
Good grief.
There we go. See, we're all set. Nice.
That's not
clean.
Wiping up. That's like
it's like Big Daddy. Just put some newspaper on
we'll
it.
We'll be changing Rex Road and Kuharsky's diaper after this segment, too.
I did nothing wrong. All right, back to you, Robbie.
Good grief.
By the way, I'd like to redo my rant because the Washington Post is closing its sports department.
Well, you knew that was coming.
I didn't think it was going to be complete closing. I knew they were laying off people. I mean, obviously, they're closing the sports department. They're going to cover sports as a, quote, cultural phenomena. Yeah. Now, that's good. Let's not notice how important sports is to news organizations and how profitable it is and how important is it. Also, how amazing your own sports staff is. That's really
so
good.
Look, if you're filthy,
really good,
filthy
guys.
Rich running a newspaper, you know, you can run it at a bit of a loss or whatever. They did something really stupid last year that prompted people to cancel, and they're suffering the consequences for it now, and the wrong people are suffering the consequences for it.
Insane. Insanity.
Your boys.
I'm glad I could change the subject from my
coffee spill.
Yeah.
No,
let's head to the phone line. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey to the program. Ed, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. So as the Titans rebuild this thing going forward, obviously they can go different directions. So I'm going to leave you guys with a quick question. Over the next 5 years or so, if you could only be dominant on one side of the ball, and I'm talking like a top, you know, two unit in the game, where are you prioritizing? What are you picking, offense or defense, and why?
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate the call.
Well,
you do have a defensive head coach. I would go offense, though, because that would suggest that your quarterback's pretty darn good. So I think offense would be the way that I would go. I think most teams would probably select offense. Having said that, now I understand Seattle is really good in all phases. Drake May just had a borderline MVP year, so we'll see. But if you watch the playoffs, Seattle's defense, pretty legit. New England's defense, pretty legit. Big reason why they're there. But I would go offense.
I mean, you want exciting football to watch, I think, on top of contending to win. It's hard not to say offense. Quarterback-based teams are generally going to do pretty well. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson have been having pretty good success. Maybe not Super Bowls. Mahomes has been doing it all. Tom Brady was a pretty successful Super Bowl quarterback. He had some good defensive teams, but they started and were centered around him. It's hard not to say in a fantasy land, if I could choose, that I wouldn't take offense.
Yeah, I agree. It's, I mean, if we're really talking about like the draft. And to me, I'm a big believer, especially when you're bad, in just whatever is the best player. I've said this, and I already got some people mad. And I'll say it again. I'm not down on the Titans taking a tackle if they think where they are. If that's who they think the best player is. There's a lot of offensive tackles that are going to go in the first round. Maybe none of them are going to be, you know, great players. But if you have a great player at that position, a lot of people would be upset with that pick because of all that they've tried to do with the offensive line. But think about what would if you think Latham can be really good and you can get a left tackle who is your future and is a pillar over there. Well, think about what that does for Cam Ward.
I'm down on it.
I asked Sala specifically about, you know, solving the offensive line problem, which has been a problem for a long time. And he said that Carmen Brasillo, their new offensive line coach, is a model of what they want for position coaches because he has been able to pull solid play out of third-day draft picks and beyond. And good,
that doesn't sound exciting.
Listen, and good position coaches are able to do that. Anybody can coach first-rounders. So I went and looked, and Brasillo, in 2022 with the Raiders, his first of 2 years there, had a line that missed only maybe four or five starting games that was a first-rounder, a third-rounder, a fifth-rounder, and two guys that were not drafted. They blocked for 1,600 yards for Josh Jacobs, and Derek Carr was sacked the eighth fewest sacks per game on average. That's very good offensive line results out of a line that had even less pedigree than you probably would expect out of an average line with two guys that were undrafted, a fifth, a third, a first. A nice mix, though, right? And that's what Sala was saying is we're going to have position groups with that kind of mix. And I need positional assistants who can develop and pull out of players their best for what they are. That's what Brasillo has a reputation of doing. That makes me think the Titans aren't going out and getting another very highly drafted offensive lineman. They think they have guys, and he should be able to get the very best out of a Dan Moore, the very best out of a Lloyd Cushenberry, better yet, Skaronski and Latham.
They just had the best offensive line coach in the NFL here, dude. I mean, that's great. It sounds good. Right. You could find Bill Callahan stuff that's just like that.
I was about to say, it doesn't sound good. It sounds exactly like what we were talking about with Bill Callahan from Cleveland. Did you see the guys in Cleveland he worked with? It would be good here.
Exactly.
That's fine. But Bill Callahan obviously did not get it done for his 2 years here. Now, was that a sabbatical, or was that the end of Bill Callahan being a good offensive line coach?
We're going to find out.
Down there in Atlanta. Olga and Bertha just both broke down here. They got rusty.
We're going to find out. But I that made me come away thinking, well, they're not looking for first-round talent on the offensive line. They feel like they have stuff they can work with.
I think that's a fair takeaway from it.
And they worked with, I mean, the last 6 weeks of the season, the offensive line was satisfactory.
No, I think all that's fair, and if I heard that, I would think they're probably not going offensive lineman either. I'm just saying, like, in practice, that is a lot of what we heard from Bill Callahan. It didn't work out so great.
Yeah, and also look around the league. You know, like look at the top like left tackles in the league, and how many of them were UDFAs who got it happens here and there, but most of them were like top five, top 10 picks because they were that good.
Having said that, they better not do that with number four overall pick. Let's head back to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
The more I think about it, I'm like, either Bill Callahan sucked or he was just like, I don't know, it'd be like if you guys brought your kid to work and they would just refuse to talk. Like the guy on the longest yard, like, you got to talk to me, Bob. Like, maybe he's just like, my son sucks so bad, I can't possibly do a good job here because he sucks, but I have to pretend like he doesn't. I don't know, man. I think about Bill Callahan in those sense, but it's not why I called. So my question for you, and this is for you specifically, PK, I always hear, and it's a question I've always had, never got answers to, when people say this guy has ties to an organization, like, Brian Callahan obviously had ties to Brandon Allen. Look how good that worked out. But, like, what makes somebody have ties? Is it just he played for him before? What does somebody having ties to an organization mean to you?
Well, I'm comfortable with this guy. Where did that come from? I'm comfortable with this guy because I've worked with him before, and I know he'll come in and reinforce my system with the young quarterback. And in a pinch, he'll go out, and while he's not the most physically talented guy, he can execute my scheme. Look, it's all about trusting people you know. Look, they went and hired an analytics guy, a game management guy, Cade Knox, who's the new stretch, if you will. Well, the stretch in between stretch and this guy wasn't very good. Now you hope this guy who's a Harvard guy is good. Well, where's he come from? He was Daboll's guy, you know. And
Daboll's, you gotta start saying it right.
Daboll.
Right?
That's what he said.
You're still doing the Daboll.
Who said Daboll?
Daboll did.
He did.
Back at Alabama, apparently.
We played the clip on the air.
Daboll. Well, if he was saying it at Alabama, how was he saying it in New York?
I don't know.
I want the New York style.
Hi, y'all. I'm Daboll. And up there.
Hey, I'm Daboll.
I mean, he's Canadian.
We've seen it happen with Brian Kelly. These names change and travel for the region.
That's true.
Yeah, especially SEC guys.
Family.
So.
Well, you need to nail this down. Anyway, continue with your point.
I'll get on it. So, you know, it's a league full of connections, and you go with guys you know and trust in most cases. Now, it's not always the case because – Saleh worked with Frank Bush in two different circumstances, and Frank Bush isn't around. So,
yeah, you got to go for best possible. Who was the stretch in between?
Rob Reederer.
Oh yeah,
didn't bad. Didn't well he didn't.
Why?
He didn't advise Brian Callahan very well about an elbow being down.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna blame Rob Reederer now. Rob
Reederer should be telling him, Brian, this is a challenge. And he should be telling him unquestionably, Mike McCoy should be telling him unquestionably, that is challengeable. Whether the referee's telling you that's challengeable or not, after replay review, there was a play late in the season, he's got to know. McCoy said, they told me it wasn't challengeable. Well, the guy in his ear has to be telling him, it is absolutely challengeable. Fight him to the death that it's challengeable. Get him to ask New York if it's challengeable. They're not authoritative enough on these things that they have to be authoritative on, where Stretch absolutely knew, absolutely unquestionably knew.
How many years after Brian Callahan's tenure is PK still going to be making excuses for him? That's my question.
For Callahan?
Yeah.
No, Callahan's got to know it too, but between the two of them, they have to know. And Reederer didn't do anything that distinguished himself.
Do you know your elbow from your ass?
615-737-1025. More with Paul Kuharski.
Will Joe now hustle to clean up the remainder of his mess, or
I'm getting up.
Does
you
he
relax.
Think a big pile of wet paper towels is sufficient?
Also
Now I don't want to get up because you said that.
Also your bets on at what time today Kuharski will remember what he was going to write down on the sheet of paper. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program talking all things Titans. We welcome more of your questions at 615-737-1025. PK, what do you make of Gus Bradley joining the staff as defensive coordinator? As we know, Saleh will be the one calling plays, but now you've got your OC, your DC, your head coach figured out. What did you make of the Gus Bradley hiring?
This is one that really fell favorably into their lap, right? San Francisco wanting to go to Raheem Morris instead of promoting Gus Bradley, which would have made perfect sense there. Then Arizona. I don't know, did Arizona hire a defensive coordinator or just decided that they didn't want Gus Bradley? And so things fell. I'm sure he's making less money. Obviously, the Titans are spending more money on the offensive side of the ball when you've got a defensive head coach and he's not a play caller. So those things drive down your price. It's hard to have any objections to what we know about this staff so far. Very, very strong staff. Very bald staff, as we pointed out. I'm
very confident.
I'm all on board with this. So, you know, hard not to be encouraged with the staff. I just keep, you know, everybody wants to be high as a kite right now. We don't know who they're coaching, who they're plugging into this scheme. So there's a huge another part in terms of who the free agents they bring in and who they draft, and then how quickly they can adapt. I think Saleh's going to have a good defense. Is it going to be this year, or is it going to take 2 years when you look at how depleted that defense is? Besides Simmons, besides Gray, who are you really counting on that side of the ball? I know people are anxious to say Sweat. We've discussed this. We haven't had a chance to discuss it yet with him. He's not a fit in terms of what he's done in the past.
Yeah.
Can he make an adjustment that makes him fit, or is it just not a guy that does what they want to do, in which case we'll see him flipped for whatever they can get? I don't know if you can do that before the draft, which would be ideal to turn it into a pick on the front side of that. But it's not going to be, you know, super lucrative. They've got to restock that secondary. He's going to hire a nickel coach, which I find fascinating. But Marcus Harris, whoever else they get for nickel, Winston, and a nickel linebacker type are going to get some very precise, direct coaching about that very specific and very important job. I think that's really cool. They'll be like the third or fourth team with that level of focus on that specific role. That's interesting. But, you know, there's so much to fill in on defense. And we know, clearly, you want to surround Cam with better people. And so some of these resources are going to be dedicated, certainly, I think, to a wide receiver, maybe an upgrade at running back, and probably a tight end to replace Chig that is a more versatile player. So you're dedicating resources to help Cam while you're fleshing out this new schematic defense. There's a lot of personnel work.
So Saleh presser, which everybody was impressed by. Then he had more stuff with you guys who covered the team on a daily basis. What have you learned about him other than apparently he wants to, you know, to play with a bunch of overachieving tomato cans on the offensive line?
Well, I thought it was interesting that he said, you know, that he researched the team as much as the team researched him. And I did write a piece about this, like how much exactly could he research? You know, certainly he could talk to Malarkey and Vrabel and Callahan and Rustin Webster and John Robinson and Rand Carthon. And you get as much as you can from those guys. But I don't know how much you can really get into Amy Adams Strunk.
That's the thing, right? You're just right. Trying to figure out, like, is this going to be like a Woody situation, or is it just like she fires people when they don't do well
right.
too early?
So I'll share this quote. He said, at the end of the day, we've got to produce. It's a production business. I have full confidence that we are going to at least have the resources to be able to compete with 31 other teams. As a coach, that's all you can ask for. Then this is an interesting ending to me. Stuff like that doesn't need to be spoken. People can always say what they want to say. I see better than I hear. And what I see is an organization that is going all in with regard to reframing who they are and building a consistent winner in the NFL. For me, that's good enough.
I like that. It's good stuff.
Okay, so what are you reading? Tell me, you're obviously reading into that.
Yeah, well, that's good enough isn't a ringing endorsement of ownership, is it?
At the presser, he's like, of course, the first thing everybody says, like, the owner is amazing. Oh, my God.
You know. And that goes down a notch.
We're going on the fox hunt next week.
That's good enough. She's intent on reframing it. Listen.
He'd be hard to hide in a fox hunt, wouldn't he?
Robert, you're going to have to crouch down a little
bit. I did. He is taller than you think. I'll say that. Standing face to face with him.
Fox got good eyesight. They see you coming.
A little shine on the head.
I think.
I took Vrabel out here. We had to get him to crouch, too. It's okay.
Here's what I took as a good sign. From my reporting, Bryce Wasserman, the son-in-law, I know for a fact he was not in all of the 16 interviews, not in all of them. I suspect he wasn't in any of them, but I know he wasn't in all of them. Now, fair or not, we take him as her eyes and ears. And so that she didn't have eyes and ears per se on a personal level, just on a professional level in those meetings, I take as a good thing. He was involved in Nagy, Sala on Monday the 19th, but she's in those meetings as well. So it doesn't matter that she's got his eyes and ears because her eyes and ears are in there. But I took that as a step back from the ownership thing, which I take as a good sign.
Well, it's on the staff. I mean, they've gone completely opposite of Brian Callahan here, which is, I mean, not necessarily an unexpected thing. But you're not only talking about experience. You're talking about a former head coach at offensive coordinator, a former head coach at defensive coordinator, and Salah's already been a head coach too. So, like, there's head coaching experience at all three of the main parts of your defense. And then
plus
Fossil.
Special teams, yeah. Count him too.
Exactly. So, like, I think Titans fans feel really good about that part of it, and now we'll see in practice what that looks like here. But it's the antithesis of that last staff that was put together.
Yeah, and if you go back, hindsight, you look at that last staff, you know, and you tend to go opposite what you have before. And Vrabel's coordinators didn't necessarily have a lot of experience. But you never go and say, you know what we're going to do as a changeup is hire all senior people that have no experience.
Yeah.
Nobody ever sits down and sets that up as your plan. So that was ill-fated from the start in hindsight, obviously. And we probably didn't hit that enough.
I agree.
At the time.
I think back,
how
really,
are they going
really talk about that
with
that much.
Nobody having had any experience? If you hire a coach, a first-time play-calling head coach, you all always – I mean, Vrabel brought in Dean Pease, you know, as a backup.
Well, Callahan had been in the same room as Peyton Manning at the time, so nobody cared. It's like, well, he's been around Peyton.
I think there was some, like, Denard Wilson's like a rising star. Okay, that's – then it's like the OC, who cares? It's his buddy, sure. Right, he's the guy. And then special teams, special it was like, teams. It's not Aukerman, so it's got to be good, right? By the way, your boy got a job, by
keeps
the way.
Landing
where
jobs.
To go now, Atlanta?
He's Atlanta.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not –
a lot of former Titans coaches.
I'm not super impressed with Atlanta overall, and Harbaugh's really not crushing it in terms of staff. And then
– how about Hardegree ended up with Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about Cleveland, where Monken, the first thing that comes out after they hire Monken is that Monken used to stand pregame on the field talking to other coaches about how when he worked for Freddie Kitchens, they would work on stuff all week and then Kitchens would call stuff that they didn't work on all week and what a mess it is and how I've got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he was talking smack about Jim Schwartz.
Now he's the head coach. And he goes, yeah, I wasn't chipping Jim Schwartz. I was chipping Myles Garrett. He said, I wasn't. So he's putting down Schwartz and he's making it like he was doing the chipping.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so awkward. Jim Schwartz totally got screwed there. He would have been great in San Francisco. I don't know how many defensive coordinator jobs are still open. Somebody should be absolutely pouncing on Jim Schwartz. Except, are the Haslams going to be jerks? Because he's under contract in Cleveland. And they have to at some point say, like, yeah, look, we screwed you and we got to let you out. Yeah. Otherwise, does Schwartz just protest and not go to work?
Hey, they let Bill Callahan out to come join his son on staff. The Haslam's, they'll let him go.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. It's the right thing to do. I didn't even know
though
about
Schwartz's
these.
Son isn't anywhere or
it's
his
true.
Dad.
I didn't even see this Monken stuff you're talking about. I just saw the part where he's in his office. He's like, pretty cool. Pretty cool. I'm like, God, it's almost as bad as your guy Gannon with choo, 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 choo.
No, it's not.
It's not, but it's. Yeah. I was like, it's cringy, man.
Cleveland fans,
it's very cringy.
Deserve better. That defense is legitimately good. That division is legitimately in
flux.
Flux, and I mean, if they could get some things going on offense, and maybe Monken can get them going on offense. I don't know, but for him to come in and get a revolt from the incumbent defensive coordinator, who's the best thing you've got going with the personnel he has, it's just.
It's a very Cleveland Brown thing.
More mess, yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with PK. Could the Titans be getting new uniforms? A lot of you asking about that. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us here on the program, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got some wristbands to give away to a very fun event that I've told you guys about all week. It is the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show at the Opryland Convention Center, Thursday, February the 12th through Saturday, February the 14th. I got a four-pack of wristbands. To caller 7, 615-737-1025, caller number 7 will win a four-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show coming up at Opryland Convention Center. So, PK, We've been asked this question a lot on the text line. Somebody asked us, like, before you even came on to ask you about this, so I'm going to. Are the Titans getting new uniforms? What can you tell us about what could be right around the corner for the Titans on the uniform front?
Yeah, so there's a lot of confusion. Here's what we know. There's this rotating thing that's going on with these rivalry third uniforms, and the AFC South is in that this year. So there will be a third uniform that they wear for a game or two. That is not a new – I mean, yeah, that's a new uniform. That's not their new uniform. That's a alternate that they will wear at some point in 2026 for a game or two. We saw different divisions roll through that this year. The only evidence that they're getting new uniforms, like period, is that their jerseys are 40% off right now, which is what teams do and the league does when somebody's changing uniforms. A lot of people are saying, well, why would they be changing them for 2026 as opposed to 2027? There's a lot of branding going on at the new stadium, and when they're hanging all of these banners and doing all of the branding inside there, if they're just turning them over months before the new stadium is turning, that's a pretty quick turn, I think, to get that stuff done. So that's why it might make sense for them to be doing it in 2026. But there's no evidence. Now, there's a guy out there who has some uniform knowledge who's been on now Graver and Mello's podcast, who's talking.
What's his name?
Names. Zach Cohen.
So it's not Tic Tac Titans. Okay.
So he said.
Noted.
You've got to mention him every show. He.
Who, Tic Tac Titans?
Yeah, done with that. He said, he initially said that Warren Moon saying that the uniforms were futuristic leads him to believe they're chrome helmets. I think that's a huge leap in logic. I did a video. I said I'm not positive that Warren Moon saw real mock-up of this thing, and that Warren Moon's being given too much in this.
Warren Moon, like on the dark web, where they're like, what happened?
Warren Moon was here for Cam Ward's introduction, where he gave his blessing on the number one. But I think what he said and what he meant may not have been, you know, totally accurate. And now this guy's saying that he saw, oil. Or he knows that they worked on some kind of oil uniforms that would be black with a light blue number. Now, he's not very precise with his language about this oil uniform. I looked up, you know, all the uniforms in the league are kind of oil-based fabric.
And to clarify, you're not talking about, like, Houston Oiler, Tennessee Oiler stuff. Yes.
The fabric.
Right.
But now people are coming back at me and saying what he meant is this dark with a light number on it. Well, I wish he had clarified that more, and he's not responding to what I wrote on it. But synthetic polymers, which is what the uniforms are made of, are oil-based, and that's what I took from what he was saying. To summarize, there's not real hard evidence about anything here except the jerseys have been on sale, and they will have these rivalry jerseys for a game or two this year. But it would make sense for them to have new. And the other thing that's in evidence, quote unquote, is they have the T logo with the three stars separate of flames up at Titans House.
Yeah.
Now, is that them trending towards changing a logo, or is that it was hard to put the flames on the fancy logo that they have up on the wall there? You know, I don't know. I think it looks pretty bad without the flames on it. It's a very kind of simple circle.
They got Rand's tee.
And the one other thing, this
friend's hat.
This kind of Greek pattern, some people are circling it with the Greek pattern. You know what I'm talking about? Some people had that like on the stripes last time the uniform was coming out. I don't think Amy Adams Strunk, in a conversation I had with her, like when I asked her if that was part of it when I was looking for hints, last uniform, she dismissed that and seemed to scoff at that. I don't think she loves that design. So I personally would be surprised if that was part of something.
All the important things that you could ask Amy Adams Strunk, and this is what you're wasting your time
back, with. This is back when we used to converse.
This is pre-Florida Georgia Line Vrabel singing up there.
Ooh, that's a long time ago. So should the Titans, real quick, I'm all in on more as close to the Oilers unis as possible.
I agree. I think I've said this before. I know people get mad when I say it. I think right now they have the worst uniforms in the league. I hate the redesign that they did with the most recent uniforms.
Well, that was one thing that Moon seemed to indicate. I mean, it was confusing what he indicated, but he said like that Cam Ward would be wearing this jersey. They're not going to be wearing the Oilers throwbacks anymore.
Yeah.
And so that put him at ease a little bit, that he's not going to be wearing the same uniform. But my kind of feel out of that was they're not going to be wearing the Oilers uniform because when the Titans got around to doing new uniforms, they would be Oiler-esque. And in being Oiler-esque, they wouldn't need to pull the Oilers uniforms off the shelves.
Look. You know, they're not going to do an exact replica of the Oilers uniform. I understand that. But leaning more into that color scheme, cool with it, man. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Light blue and a red accent in there. I think all for it. Almost everybody likes that concept.
I mean, the white pants, white jersey Oilers look, but any of the Oilers looks,
it's
frankly,
really good.
And they went that direction this year, right? They didn't wear dark blue.
Yeah, they went light blue and white pants, I think, like every home game. So.
Which is good.
That's fine.
And she picks that. She picks the uniform combination.
Is that Jimmy White? I thought Jimmy White
doing the Bridges
report. Let me tell you,
he reveals it. He does not choose it.
That means Vrabel. I think Vrabel took a shot at Amy Adams Strunk earlier this week. Somebody was asking about the uniforms up there. Like, I guess the Patriots are wearing white.
Oh, the Patriots are wearing white even though they have the choice because they're 9-0 in those uniforms.
But he said in his answer, he's like, you know, I had to deal with the uniform police in Tennessee. And it's like, geez, I guess he's talking about.
Really?
I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't catch that. I just heard him saying he's leaving Barsky 6. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, we'll see.
He's leaving what?
No, you didn't hear? No. We'll play the clip for you.
PK, I do want to get your thoughts on this. It's a discussion we had earlier this week. As you know, who's available via free agency here on February the 4th and who ends up actually being available by the time free agency comes around, two very different things. George Pickens, we had a lot of people ask about him. He's 25 years old.
He's trouble.
93 catches, 1,429 yards, 9 touchdowns. As you said, he has been trouble in the league. So, on the one hand, he's 25 years old, and that type of production that I just listed off, it doesn't make it to free agency very often. On the other hand, already had some problems very early in his career. So, if you're the Titans, how do you weigh those two things? How much interest are you having in George Pickens if he makes it? None. Zero.
None. I mean, if you're getting rid of Jarvis Brownlee because he was a little bit of a problem culturally.
Different coaching staff.
If you've got questions about Tavondre Sweat culturally, well, the GM is setting the culture in hand in hand with Robert Saleh and his coaching staff. I just don't think George Pickens is the kind of guy, after you have an established culture and an established roster, that you say, hey, can we handle this guy? And you have a meeting about it. And if you decide you can, you bring him on. But as you're building and setting a culture, first off, I think Dallas is going to sign him before he gets to free agency.
I think so,
too. And that's going to be dealt with. But I just don't think – I think he's the kind of guy that – had a spectacular season, very good player. C.O. Bricado told me this, and it's a scouting bromide that I use all the time. Money turns you into more of what you are. I don't want more of what he is.
So what?
Necessarily.
I mean, I don't disagree with what you said. I mean, he was in an established culture in Pittsburgh, and they're like, yeah, go ahead and move on from that. But
it is 93 catches for 1,429 yards.
Well, the talent's
very talented.
The talent's undeniable. But risky talent. The Cowboys are re-signing him, is it possible he's matured?
Yes. Also, do the Cowboys care about this sort of thing traditionally? Like compared to Pittsburgh? No, Pittsburgh, the team that cares about it maybe the most, sent him to Dallas, the team that cares about it maybe the least.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You may have a point.
93 catches for almost 1,500 yards. They don't grow on trees in free agency every year, man.
Give me Alec Pierce.
What about Romeo Doubs?
Well, Romeo Doubs to me is the alternative to Alec Pierce. And Juwan Jennings maybe after that. That would be my pecking order without having the list in front of me. But Alec Pierce, I think, is a better talent than Romeo Doubs.
I would agree.
Faster, for sure.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Paul Kuharsky with us from paulkuharsky.com. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Vrabel in the Super Bowl coming up this weekend, PK. What do you make of the matchup between the Patriots and the Seahawks?
Seahawks more talented. Vrabel really good with 2 weeks of prep, as we saw firsthand a lot. McDonald, very good coach, but second year. You know, I'd give the coaching edge to New England. May hasn't played well in the playoffs, but they've played against really good defenses. And I think New England's defense has been underrated throughout the playoffs. I mean, that's been a big factor. And you can downgrade the teams they've played, but playing good defense is playing good defense against the teams that you see. I think I expect it to be a close game. Does Darnold make a big mistake? You know, quarterbacking-wise, who makes fewer mistakes? Lower scoring. And I'm not going to count Vrabel out. I think Seattle is fairly favored here. But I haven't really settled on what I think is going to happen. I need to read a little bit more.
If Mike Vrabel wins this Super Bowl, you know, we've talked some today, PK, obviously about Titans fans and the rooting interest and all that, but from your perspective as a Hall of Fame voter, Hall of Fame voting is going really well lately, by the way. Yeah. You guys are doing a great job. Vrabel.
Some of us better than others, I'll say.
Vrabel would have, obviously, that. He would have an NFL Coach of the Year in his past here. I guess he could get it this year, too. But between that and a playing career that – because I was thinking about this, PK, like back at the Tennessee, and I remember I wrote something about, like, Vrabel's not quite a Hall of Famer. He's probably a Patriots Hall of Famer. He's not an NFL Hall of Famer. But what if he has a great coaching career? So as a voter, do you tie all that together? Let's say he wins this one Super Bowl and then it fades out from there. And it's not like some big dynasty. Because obviously if they go on and just crush, then he's a shoo-in, right? Let's say Mike Vrabel, you have to vote on him Monday after he gets in the Super Bowl Sunday. Is he a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
I would say no, but you know, if he went on to win a second Super Bowl, on his coaching resume, I mean, two Super Bowl winning head coaches are generally, you know, on the yes side.
So the one with a good coaching career, but not amazing, but when with his playing career, do you combine them or no?
Well, I mean, I would have a hard time not combining them, but he would be in one category or another. So I don't know what the Hall of Fame would tell us about how to consider it, but I would be unable to separate the two.
And so not like some hard guideline where you can't think of it that way.
If they offered one, I would have a hard time obeying it. I mean, how could they say he's nominated here as a coach, so only consider him as a coach, and how could we then not consider a playing career on top of that? It's for pro football. So he would have qualifications in both categories and certainly an enhanced resume with that regard.
How many times has that happened where you've had to consider both, like a coaching career and a playing career?
I can't think of one.
I don't think in my 11 years there's been anybody that we've considered in that regard.
Because players who are successful in the NFL, especially now, make so much money, they're not going to go into coaching.
Yeah,
they're just going to TV.
Yeah. Very rare.
Or whatever, just –
So does Brady get in the Hall of Fame for the quarterbacking part or because he's a good broadcaster?
Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Our failures this year have led to people like Stephen A. popping off like, this is going to happen to Tom Brady now. No, it's not. Tom Brady is on the modern era player side. And when Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald get in tomorrow night, they're not going to be any scandal connected to that. The problem isn't on the modern era side, though it's become more difficult there with the intention of the Pro Football Hall of Fame's policy and method. But the problem right now is a coach and a contributor going against seniors and how few you can vote for. And I think it's terrible that people haven't seen fit to delineate Belichick and Kraft, but it's a process failure as well. There's no process change where the very best guys on the modern era side are not getting in.
So, Robbie and I do have a bet, though, which is that I think somebody, it might just be one person, will still make Brady wait a year because of the Deflategate.
Well, he's unanimous.
One person can't make him wait a year, and we never.
No. I'm not saying make him wait a year, but I'm saying one person case. Will vote that way. Well, he won't be unanimously voted.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's unanimous or not.
That's never reported. It never comes out after somebody's unanimous or not.
So I wouldn't bet.
Hall of Fame knows, and Ernst & Young or whoever the accountant is at that time will know, but nobody else knows.
We need to go ask him.
Very disappointing.
Tell him we won't report it, but we just need to know.
Yeah, we just need it for our own purposes.
I don't know. We don't know. I don't know anything about vote totals.
Do you think that any voters will look at him and be like, the cheating doesn't mean anything?
I think there's one person to whom it is very important.
Tic Tac Titans? Is he a voter?
I don't know if they'd let Tic Tac Titans in the Hall of Fame as a ticket buyer. And I don't have a lot of sway there, but I would send them a picture and say, this guy is so not qualified to be near here.
He's banned.
I think the Canton police should not
be allowed to even discuss football. Nearby. Discuss football or be associated with football in any way.
On a do not serve list at a bar somewhere. Like, nah.
Like, you know how you used to have pictures of Ted Kaczynski? now replaced with this guy.
By the way, Joe, I guess we should get to some
Well, I mean, he is dropping bombs on the internet.
Oh, boy.
Joey Aguilar has been granted a temporary restraining order against NCAA eligibility rules by a Knoxville judge.
Is this exciting?
So it does. I think it's a 15-day order, so it's a very short-term measure. But I wonder what this.
What a glorious 15 days!
So he gets to like.
He's gonna go to
lift. He gets a lift for 2 weeks.
Is he getting the NIL cut into that for 15
Joe,
days?
Joe, you should go do a story on that. Watch him lift for these 15 days.
Yeah,
maybe
do a journal with him.
But as Sparks,
a new notebook.
Adam Sparks says, a first step toward a potential return in 2026, so we'll see.
Very do you want
interesting.
Him? Joe, you're a Vols fan. Do you want him?
GB Joe says, yes. I think that Tennessee fans should want Aguilar back. Robbie's not sure.
Based on where their quarterback room is right now, I wouldn't hate it.
I guess you're more, you just don't like the.
I don't like the fact that this is what college football is now. It's like, well, everybody just sues for everything now. Cool. Yeah. Eligibility.
And wins, pretty much.
Pretty much.
The NCAA has done a really great job.
PK, great stuff as always. Thank
you.
I don't
have a strong feeling on the UT quarterback situation. Please stop asking. Don't block the box.
Be
sure to lock your locks.
That's going to do it for us today on the program. We made it through the rest of the hour. Rexro didn't spill anything else.
It's still very sticky over
PK
here.
PK eventually remembered what he was going to write down on
the sheet. I did. I've got it written down. Look.
He's ready to go.
On my coffee-soaked paper, I wrote it down.
Got everything figured out there.
So beautiful.
Hope everybody has a wonderful
shout out Tic Tac Titans
rest of the day. Preds with a big one tonight against the Wild. Pregame at 6 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. Puck drop at 7. Next man up coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.